Welcome to The Disappearing Mind, a unique podcast helping you find clarity and support along your dementia journey. Now, join National Dementia Trainer and Coach, Dawn Platt, for an all-new episode.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us today on The Disappearing Mind. I'm your host, Dawn Platt. Today, we're going to talk about more caregiving conversations. We'll talk openly about the challenges and the triumphs of caring for a loved one with dementia. Pull up a chair, get a pen and pencil, and write some of these tips down. Share it with your friends and with your family or anyone on the caregiving journey. Thank you again for joining me. We're going to dive into a topic that's top of mind for so many caregivers, and that is managing challenging dementia behaviors at home. If there is a scary place that I believe all caregivers or family members experience, it's when there's a change in behavior and a family is just trying to manage it. They don't fully understand it. It's new for their family member, and they're not really sure what to do. Today, we're going to talk about some practical tips for caregivers. Let's get into it. From wandering and sundowning to aggression and hallucination, these behaviors can be overwhelming, confusing, and even frightening for persons caring for individuals with dementia and the person themselves who has dementia. But you're not alone. In this episode, we'll explore why these behaviors happen, practical tips for managing them, and how you can create a safer, calmer environment for both you and your loved one. Understanding dementia-related behaviors. So let's start with understanding why these behaviors happen. Dementia just isn't about memory loss. It's affecting the brain's ability to process information, to control emotions, and to respond to the environment. Think about it this way. If you woke up one day in a world that seemed unfamiliar, where you couldn't find the right words or remember familiar faces, you'd feel anxious too. Many challenging behaviors are your loved one's way of communicating their needs, their fears, or their frustrations, especially when they can't express themselves with words. I say that every behavior is a voice, and I feel like we as caregivers, we as professionals, it's our job to figure out what that voice is saying. Let's break down a few of the most common behaviors caregivers deal with. Now, when I'm going through these, I am not in any way saying that your loved one or you will have all these behaviors. You may not. But of behaviors, these are some of the most common ones that we do see in many types of dementia, some more prevalent than others, depending on the diagnosis. But let's go ahead and talk about them. Wandering, this could be a response to boredom. It could be confusion or the need for purpose. A lot of people know or talk about confusion, but they don't get into that response to boredom. So people get bored. If they're not busy in something, they're going to get into something. We see that happen in a lot of cases with people who have dementia and don't have dementia. But what about the need for purpose? We all have a need for purpose in our life, in our day, in who we are as individuals. Whether we're the head of the household, working and providing, putting food on the table, or whether we're the housewife who is cleaning and cooking and getting her children off to school, purpose in life is very important. And that doesn't necessarily go away when you get dementia. It may change, but people need a purpose. They need to feel fulfilled that they are giving back to life, family, community, whatever the case might be. But wandering is something that a lot of caregivers will deal with from time to time. Sundowning. Increased confusion and agitation as the day turns to evening. We've talked about this. We've had a podcast in and around it. Sundowning is real. People do have more expressions of confusion when we lose that daylight. When afternoon turns to evening is a very common. And when seasons change, we see all of that coming forth. Aggression and agitation. One of the things that's most hard to deal with, often triggered by discomfort, fear, or overstimulation. People with dementia can't process all of these stimuli that are coming at them, especially overstimulation, definitely discomfort or feeling something that they can't communicate or get relief from, and fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of the unfamiliar, all of these things can contribute to aggression and agitation. Hallucinations and delusions. Common in certain types of dementia, causing fear or confusion. So we don't see hallucinations and delusions in every type of dementia, although there are factors that can contribute to this in most types of dementia. For instance, a urinary tract infection or dehydration or even certain types of medication. So understanding the why is the first step in managing these behaviors with compassion and with patience. How do we manage wandering safely? Well, let's start there. One of the most distressing behaviors for caregivers. Imagine turning your back for a moment and realizing your loved one has left the house. It is terrifying. So how can you prevent wandering? Here are a few tips that you are going to want to write down. These are practical tips that you can try to relieve any wandering and to provide extra safety for those who have a tendency to wander. Create a daily routine. People with dementia often wander when they're bored or restless. Structured activities can reduce this urge. Secure your home. Install door alarms, motion sensors, or place childproof covers on your doorknobs. We don't know when somebody's going to wander, and they don't wander until they wander. There are a lot of factors behind wandering. Safety and security is going to be very important. Provide safe spaces to walk. If mobility isn't an issue, consider a secure outdoor space where they can walk freely. Or take them out to the park. Take them accompanied to the mall. Give them that opportunity to exert energy and to be able to walk. Use identification, a medical ID bracelet, wearable GPS is available widely now and can be a lifesaver. Know your loved one's patterns. Wandering often happens at specific times or after certain triggers. Pay attention to these clues. If someone is speaking about going home or speaking about somebody coming or speaking about going somewhere, chances are that's when it could occur. Listen to what's being said and take every precaution. Easing sundowning syndrome. We're going to talk about sundowning, which we've talked about before, but if you're noticing that your loved one is becoming more confused, anxious, or aggressive in the late afternoon or evening, you're not alone. Sundowning affects up to 20% of people with dementia. Why does it happen? Well, it could be related to the changes in the internal body clock, fatigue, or even how lighting changes at sunset. Here's some tips that you can try to ease sundowning. Keep evenings calm and well-lit. A dim, unfamiliar space can increase confusion. Try soft lighting, LED lighting, natural lighting to assist with that. Stick again to a daily routine. You're going to hear this tip in almost every behavior that I talk about. Avoid naps late in the day where they may have a tendency to be up at night. Encourage naps earlier in the day and make sure they get plenty of movement, exercise to exert energy so that they will sleep well at night. Limit stimulants. Reduce caffeine, sugar, and large meals at night, which can cause them to have some insomnia. You don't want them up at night. You want them sleeping well. Engage in calming activities, such as listening to soft music or reading together can help. Try this. Adjust the lighting in your home as evening approaches. Sometimes simply closing curtains before dusk can reduce confusion caused by reflections or shadows. These are some of the things that I want you to try if that is an issue for you. Promoting safety is our number one concern here at the podcast, and we want to assist you with that. Handling aggression and agitation. Aggression can be one of those most difficult behaviors to manage, especially when it seems to come out of nowhere. But remember, all behavior is communication. Your loved one may be in pain, may be frightened, scared, overwhelmed. Here's some of the ways that you might want to try and respond. First off, stay calm. Take deep breaths. Respond with a soft voice and reassuring words. Give them space. Sometimes stepping back for a moment can de-escalate the situation. Check for physical discomfort. Could they be hungry, thirsty, in pain? And avoid arguing at all costs. Reasoning with someone in distress often makes things worse, not better. Once I spoke with a caregiver whose mother became agitated every time the mailman came. It turns out the mother thought he was a stranger coming to take her things. A simple instruction, "This is our friend who brings the mail," helped reduce her fear. Little shifts in an approach can make a big difference. I have story after story in regards to those kinds of tips, especially if they think someone is coming to take from them or to harm them. This can produce a reaction in them. Let's talk about addressing hallucinations and delusions. Hallucinations, seeing or hearing things that aren't there, can be frightening for both the person with dementia and their caregiving. The key here is validation, not correction. If your loved one believes that they see a child in the room or insists someone stole their purse, avoid arguing with them. Instead, say, "Tell me more about that. Let's look together. Don't worry, I'm here. I will help you." Redirect the conversation or suggest a comforting activity that may take their mind off of it. If hallucinations cause severe distress, talk to your healthcare provider. Sometimes medications or infections could be the cause. We certainly want to make sure and report this to our physician so that we can get them out of distress as much as possible, creating a calmer environment. Let's talk a little bit about environment, because the space around you can make your loved one either calm or confuse them. Environment is hugely important to them, how they act and react. So we want to be sure that there's not a lot of noise and clutter. Too much sensory input can overwhelm an individual who has dementia. Use calm colors and familiar objects. These can provide reassurance to the person. Playing soft, soothing music can unlock memories and calm agitation. And always maintain good lighting. Shadows can cause fear or confusion, especially for those who are prone to hallucinations. We want to take time, walk through our home, try and see it from our loved one's perspective. Are there any confusing reflections? Are there any loud noises or appliances that are loud? Small changes can have a big impact, especially if this is a repeated behavior. They may be hearing something such as the air conditioner and confusing it for something else. Before we move into the Q&A, I want to answer some questions for those of you that have asked for answers in and around this topic. Let me just talk about some final thoughts here as we close this segment of the podcast. And that is, here's some heartfelt advice that I hope will be beneficial to you. Remember this: managing challenging behaviors starts with understanding and patience. Step back, take a good look at what's happening and possibilities of why it's happening, and go from there. approach it from that standpoint. If your loved one isn't giving you a hard time, they're having a hard time. And we have to help navigate them through life and through day-to-day schedules and experiences. But you can't pour from an empty cup. Caregivers need care too. I know oftentimes in my own life with my busy career, my family, my granddaughter, everything that's on my plate, things that I'm actually an expert at became hard because I was an empty cup. Be sure that you're taking care of yourself and your needs. You will be able to navigate these behaviors so much easier and have little victories that will carry you through the dementia journey. Be sure to ask for help. Be sure to take breaks. Join some sort of support group, whether it's podcasts, whether it's online or a local support group. Talking to others who understand can be life-changing. Celebrate small victories. Every calm evening, every redirected meltdown, every laugh matters. My mom has been gone going on 1 year now, and I can now really laugh and think about the good times in the middle of what did not appear so good at the time. And I celebrate those victories, and I share those victories with you on this podcast, with families that I coach, and with others, friends who are going through something similar. You're doing an incredible job in one of the hardest roles there is. Give yourself grace. Here's some questions that I'm going to answer for our listeners and for those who have submitted either through a support group or online at thedisappearingmind.com or through my dementia coaching session. It's time for one of my favorite parts of the podcast, and that is the Q&A segment. I have compiled a list of questions from our listeners and the caregiving community, and you've sent in some incredible, heartfelt questions about managing challenging behaviors at home. Let's go ahead and jump in. So question one is, my mom tends to wander at night. I've tried locking the doors, but I feel bad restricting her movement. What can I do to keep her safe without making her feel trapped? This is a common concern, balancing safety and dignity. Let's put the heavier weight on safety. You're right. Locking the doors can feel restrictive, but safety comes first. Here are some ideas that I want to give you. You can try and see if they work for you. Try door alarms or motion sensors that alert you if she tries to leave. That will alert you if you're cooking dinner or changing clothes or taking a bath. You will know if that door is open. Create a safe zone for nighttime walking. Some caregivers find that allowing their loved one to walk in a secure area inside the house, like a hallway with a motion-activated nightlight, can satisfy the urge without danger. My mom, we had motion sensor lights all over the house that came on as mom walked, and she walked. She got up almost every night and sometimes multiple times, but it wasn't for a long period of time. Bedside motion detectors can also alert you if they're getting up. And lastly, address the reason behind the wandering. Maybe they're thirsty. Maybe they need to go to the bathroom. Or maybe they're restless from too much daytime sleep, or perhaps they're struggling with sleep itself. Talk to your physician about that. It's all about making sure they feel secure, not imprisoned. And let me just say, I would much rather have a childproof lock on the door than have my mom walk out in traffic and something bad happen. Do the best thing for you and your family. Talk about it with other people who are going through what you're going through and understand that you're probably doing the best thing. Another question. My dad gets really agitated during bath time. He screams, refuses, and sometimes lashes out. How can I make this easier for him and for me? Oh boy, that is a real guilt-ridden place to be. Certainly, I hear this a lot. It's a common question. more common than not. Bathing can be incredibly distressing for someone with dementia. It often feels cold, vulnerable, and confusing. Here are a few techniques and tips for you to try in and around bathing. Establish a routine, same time, same method. Routine builds familiarity. A routine person, so if you use an outside caregiver, they like the same person and they'll become familiar with that person. Really important. Offer choice. Would you like a bath or a shower? Giving options restores some control. Telling them when and what they're doing is not always an effective way to get cooperation. Ensure the room is warm and the water temperature is comfortable before starting. Make sure the room is warm, and if they're modest, for goodness sakes, have a few towels to cover them up in the areas that they're not getting bathed in. Explain each step in a calm, reassuring tone. Even if they don't fully understand, your soothing voice can help. Try sponge baths. If a full bath causes too much distress or a shower, people have lived long lives taking a sponge bath. Just a good tip that you might want to try. Most importantly, stay calm. If they sense your anxiety, it will increase their anxiety. Here's another question from a listener. How do I respond when my husband accuses me of stealing from him? It's heartbreaking, and I don't know how to handle it. Well, I don't think anybody would. I don't think it comes natural to us. I feel for you. Accusations of theft are common delusion in people with dementia because memory loss and confusion kind of overtakes them. As painful as it is, remember, it's the disease talking, not your loved one. This is not personal, no matter what it sounds like. Honestly, you know, if they didn't have dementia, that probably would not be happening. Here's how you can respond. Here's some tips you may want to try and use. Don't take it personally, number one. Easier said than done, I know. But remember yourself that these accusations are a symptom. Yes, I said these accusations are a symptom of dementia, extremely common across the board. Validate the feelings, not the facts. Say to them, I can see you're upset that your wallet isn't where you thought it was. Can we look for it together? I'm here to help you. Create a lost and found drawer where they can store important items. This gives them control and can prevent future accusations. Lastly, redirect the conversation gently if the search becomes too distressing. It will show up at some point. The key here is empathy. Let them feel heard without reinforcing the false belief. Here's another question from a listener. My mother-in-law talks to people who aren't there. Should I correct her or just go along with it? This is a tough spot for caregivers. My advice, go along with it. Unless it causes fear or distress, it's not going to hurt anyone. If she's comforted by these conversations, there's no harm in acknowledging them. You might say, oh, what are you and your friend talking about? It allows her to feel validated. However, if the hallucinations are disturbing or frightening, try to redirect her attention to something more pleasant. Use music, a snack, or a favorite activity to do that. Check for triggers like poor lighting, shadows, or even infections, which can cause exacerbation of these types of symptoms. And of course, consult her doctor, especially if hallucinations are new or severe. The goal is always to comfort and reassure. Another question from a podcast listener, what is the best way to handle aggression when it happens suddenly? Sudden aggression can feel very scary and hurtful. The most important thing is to stay calm and avoid confrontation. Here's some tips on what you can do. Step back. Give them space. Sometimes being too close can escalate things. Assess the environment. Is there something triggering them? Loud noises, too many people. Speak slowly and reassure. Say, I'm sorry, you're upset, I'm here to help. Don't try to reason or argue. This is almost always something that makes things worse. After things calm down, reflect on potential triggers so that you can avoid them in the future. Do an analysis of what happened and try and avoid those triggers in the future. And please, if aggression becomes dangerous, do not hesitate to get professional help. Your safety matters too. We want you to be safe. Well, these questions today really show the heart and complexity of caregiving. To all of you listening, you're doing an incredible job. Managing those behaviors takes patience, takes creativity, and a whole lot of love. Please don't forget, caregiving is not a one-person job. Reach out, ask for help, and take care of you, the caregiver. Your well-being is just as important as the care you provide. In this episode of Caregiving Conversations, we explored how to manage challenging dementia-related behaviors at home, from wandering and sundowning to aggression and hallucinations. We also answered listener-submitted questions about real-life caregiving challenges. We provided practical tips and compassionate advice and resources for your support. Here's a call to action for my listeners. If you have questions that we have not addressed, please visit our website at www.thedisappearingmind.com and submit your questions. We will try to address them on the podcast so that your particular and personal questions get answered. We would love to hear your stories, share your insights, and those things that matter to you most. You're not alone in this. We want to do this together. Check out our resources page on thedisappearingmind.com. This wraps up another episode of The Disappearing Mind. I hope today's tips and Q&A gave you some new tools to navigate challenging moments in your own dementia journey. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share it with someone who might benefit. Don't forget to visit us for future episodes as we continue to break down tough topics with compassion and practical advice. Until next time, remember, you're not alone. Take care of yourself as you care for those you love. This is Dawn Platt. Make it a memorable day.
Thank you for joining us for the Disappearing Mind podcast. We hope it's helped you find clarity and support along your journey. Be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode, visit our website to suggest future topics, and share the podcast with friends and family.